Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Hello you! Welcome to the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, the UK's premier audio noise, giving you a hot blast of tech every Friday. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast is a pint of infotainment from the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. You can find us on Acast, on SoundCloud, on iTunes and more. Go on, treat yourself. Every Friday, we bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed tech chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Don't forget to subscribe, review, and tell your friends. I'm Matt Egan, Editorial Director of IDG UK, and today I am delighted to be joined in conversation by two of our most intellectual editors. Mighty like a sword with his pen, it's Henry Burrell, Senior Staff Writer of PC Advisor.
Hello.
Like a sixth form tutor at a rave, it's Dave Did Price, Deputy Editor of Macworld UK.
Hello.
Today we are talking iPads and Android. Ooh, so let's go. Because iPad, iPad, come on. You know iPad, iPad, come on. You know. And the whole world has to answer right now just to tell you once again, iPad. David Price. iPad. And some other stuff. Go.
Yes, okay. Apple.
Hard to follow.
I know. Apple was expected to have a press release, a press event, and in the end they only had a press release. They closed down their store, their online store, for, was it about half a day?
Yeah, at the beginning of, what day were we on? Tuesday.
What day is today?
It was Tuesday. Went Monday.
It was Monday. Anyway, when the store came back.
This week.
Was it Tuesday?
Yes, it was this week.
Doesn't matter, guys.
when the store came back, there was a new iPad on there called the iPad, which is really annoying.
Retro vibe.
Yeah, because there was another product called the iPad, obviously, back in 2010. But they obviously feel they can get away with just calling it the iPad. Not even the new iPad, like they did with
That was confusing.
That was the iPad 3, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As a little side note, did you see there was quite a lot of chatter on social media about why is it that Apple has to take down its store in order to put new products on there? As if it was like a technical limitation of the... I mean, it's quite a ballsy thing to do for their main piece of commerce to be offline for half a day, but it just builds so much interest. It's amazing.
It does. Because they clearly thought these are not amazing enough products to have a press event. They felt they couldn't.
Yeah, they couldn't get away with that.
Couldn't get away with that. But they still did their own thing, their own way of generating a bit of hype. And it really was. I mean, it's not up to much. It has to be said. I don't want to dampen excitement too much. But the new iPad is it's a cheap iPad with quite out of date technology.
How cheap is cheap?
It starts at...
It's not very cheap.
We were talking about this earlier. It starts at £339. And in the post-Brexit... It's not post-Brexit, but the post-referendum landscape, that is a really cheap iPad. It's not a really cheap tablet, obviously, because it's Apple.
It's an iPad to trigger Article 50 with, isn't it?
One of the interesting things about the price is that it costs more in dollars. It costs less in dollars.
Yeah,
slightly.
It's $339, which, if you were literally translating, is about 260 quid.
But yeah, so for quite a long time, Apple has essentially done £1 for $1 because of taxes and the additional cost of getting to the UK. But what we're saying is this is the first kind of major product we've seen where the number of pounds is greater than the number of dollars.
Yeah, just in some SKUs, some models.
Getting control back there, guys. Good work.
Yeah, it does make you sad. But it's an interesting bit of technology, iPad, because it's sort of the first time in the iPad range, certainly, that it's done this kind of conscious budget sort of option.
So we've had iPhone 5C, iPhone SE, they're kind of...
Yeah, they're both the equivalent of this for the iPhone, where they're aiming, that people thought they were aiming at the Indian market and the Chinese market, people that had a bit less disposable cash.
And white mums. Yeah, my mum had an iPhone 5C.
There you go.
It's a white mum iPhone.
I didn't know your mum.
Yeah, definitely. Well, iPhone 5C, like in my life, was seeing, yeah, actually not so much mums, but young people with iPhones on my train in the morning who previously would have had Androids, basically.
I think the important distinction, though, is that Apple creates the illusion of the budget product, because this iPad is still not a budget item.
Yeah, and the iPhone 5C was
not
definitely not budget, but it was more accessible to get an iPhone.
And it had those horrible, colourful cases that... I thought, well,
young people love those, David.
It really felt like this is what young
people
like.
Young people like colour.
Well, yeah, old people like colour.
My mum likes the lime green, apparently.
Yeah. So the chip inside it is an upgrade from the iPad Air 2, but it's still an 18-month-old chip.
It's in the 6S, right? The same.
Yeah. September 2015, they launched the A9. So it's sort of
the A9 being the chip.
The processor chip, yeah.
I mean, I knew that. I'm just, our listener might not have.
Yeah, for the benefit of people that don't follow Apple processor designations. So it's sort of, it's half a generation behind the iPad Pro 9.7-inch, which is itself a year old. And there's loads of other ways in which it's sort of old-fashioned. It, in most respects, this is an iPad Air 2 with very slight upgrades. But in a few respects, it's like an iPad Air 1. It's the size of an iPad Air 1, so it's actually a bit bulkier than both the Pro and the Air 2. And as Henry next to me pointed out, they've now acknowledged that it has an air gap under the screen, so it doesn't have the same lamination process on the screen that you get with the Air 2 and the iPad Pro.
What practical difference would that make?
The Air 1 was a really nice product, but you could kind of tell, couldn't you, that when you press the screen, there was a bit of give beneath your finger, because there was literally air between there. Probably not why they called it the Air. then the Air 2...
They got rid of that, and you could really notice it, that it had a sort of... It really feels like you're moving things around on the screen. That's the essential illusion that is fundamental to the way the iPad works. It's supposed to be a piece of glass which you are using to look at the internet and manipulate the internet. That's a sort of... the trick, and it works on the Air 2 and the Pro better than it did on the Air 1. And that didn't matter at the time with the Air 1, because we hadn't tried the later products, obviously. Upgrading is always good. But in this case, you have to downgrade, and a lot of people have tried the Air 2 or the Pro, even if it's only on other people's devices, and they will know, I assume, when they try this new iPad, this is a bit old-fashioned, this is a bit...
Maybe,
crap.
But then who buys new iPads? Really?
Well, at the moment, nobody.
Nobody. This is Apple maybe trying to acknowledge in some way, well, not acknowledge, but they're giving they're showing their hand slightly, because they've released a product that's cheaper than the iPad Air 2 was, even after that price rise. That was £379. This product's £40 cheaper.
Right.
But as David was probably going to go on and say, iPad sales have been declining for a while. I think Apple expected the product cycle to be similar to the iPhone.
Yeah.
And have suddenly realized that actually these things... are very good products, but they sit on people's coffee tables for 5 years. So
yeah. I've said this before, but I've got an original iPad Mini, I'm not sure I can get the most recent OS, but I can get a recent enough OS that it doesn't hobble Netflix, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
yeah, I still use my iPad 4, which did much to David's horror, probably.
Well, I'm spoiled because I get given review samples by Apple of many of its iPads, and so I'm used to the latest versions. But yeah, people update. You're right. Every 3 or 4 years, the quickest most
for
most
4 years.
People. Well, it's a 2 year cycle for the iPhone.
It's not dissimilar to the issue that one of the issues that wasn't spoken about in the change of business model from Microsoft being able to sell Windows licenses every time a new version of Windows came out, and you know, all sorts of things were said about how people, smartphones were taken away from desktops and laptops, and this idea of the post-PC world. One of the other issues was, I'm still using a PC at my desk here at work that is 10 years old. And it's fine. It's had a couple of bits of RAM stuck in it, but I don't need to change the processor or add storage or anything like that, because of the way we work these days and because the products are sufficiently good. It's actually a successful thing about iPad that, like I said, I use my iPad Mini every day for reading, playing games, watching stuff, but I don't need, there's no reason to change it. so I'm not going to buy a new one until I need to.
Yeah.
I think what they maybe have set up for now is the acceptance that, yeah, the iPad is, what, 7 years old, the product line. So maybe more people are going to consider starting to buy one. And if they are going to, £339 for a still a very good product is more reasonable than the £549 they're charging for the iPad Pro.
Yeah.
The iPad Pro is just ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, not least because a bit of a market for it, I would imagine, is kids, essentially. Like parents buying children their first digital device that they own.
Yeah.
And actually, you're probably better off going for an Amazon Kindle because it's just locked to Amazon.
They're good for the price.
And for kids, they're brilliant because it's straight out of the box. It's just locked into one world, so you can be very secure. But actually, iPad's the same. And for a bit more, you get a little bit more freedom, and it's an iPad, and that will matter to some people. So I think in that instance, immediately you could see that my first digital device, the iPad is a good option for that, and £300 is a lot of money, but it's more affordable than £500.
Something that I was thinking as well, not that you are a child, but previously the iPad Mini was the cheapest product. Apple still sold the iPad Mini 2 for about £239, something like that, which is obviously an attractive price point. But now, if you want to buy directly from Apple, this brand new iPad is actually cheaper than the cheapest iPad Mini that Apple sells, because Apple was, I think strangely, made the iPad Mini 4 £419 at its cheapest point. Because they're only selling 128 gigabyte versions. So I mean, now that's £80 more than the cheaper.
There is that iPad. Weird economics around small, though, isn't there? Like, yeah, I know the iPad Mini originally, at least, was more expensive to make than the equivalent big iPad, because they had to get specific screen sizes cut and the components had to be smaller and stuff like that. I don't know if that's still the case, but it's not necessarily the case that it would be cheap.
It's probably got the better screen tech, right? Mini 4. Don't know. We'll edit that bit in.
Let's keep that bit in.
When we always talk about making products smaller and smaller, I always remember that tiny little flip phone the Zoolander has.
Yeah.
Always wanted that.
iPad Mini 2's gone then. That has died.
Well, you can still get it if you're on education. I don't know what the name of it is. The education program. They still sell them through there. The iPad Mini 2 and the iPad Air 2, I believe, are both still on there.
Interesting.
And you can get them through resellers, as Henry said.
So what else is new from our friends at Apple?
Not much. There's a red colour option for the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus. That's the Product Red HIV charity that was founded by Bono, of which some of the profits, which we haven't been able to find out exactly how much, but some of the profits will go to fight HIV and AIDS.
And tonight, thank God, it's them instead of you, I guess.
That's very good.
They've done this before, though, with iPods.
They have
various
long
shapes and sizes.
They have a long relationship. They've done it with apps recently, which is really weird. If you some apps are designated as Product Red apps. I think are existing apps, but they just put like a sort of red border on the icon.
Actually, yeah, I think my iPad case for my ancient iPad is a Product Red case. There you go.
Right on.
Apple probably have the deepest relationship with Product Red of any company that I'm aware of.
I thought it was an Apple thing, actually. So
there you go. It's a really interesting thing, Product Red, and I don't know how I feel about it exactly, because you sort of feel like it's this ethical consumerism thing that is that both sides are clearly getting something out of it, that more people will buy it because of the associated, particularly with Apple, who have branded themselves as an ethical company and people buy things from them above the normal price because of the person that they think that makes them seem to be. And charitable stuff, it really fits in with that.
I was at the dentist yesterday, and when I came to pay my £60 dentist bill, they said, oh, by the way, we had a pound on for charity. You can take it off if you want, but we had a pound on for charity. And I said, I think a reasonable question, what's the charity? And they said, we don't know.
So I said, anonymous giving.
I said, take the pound off. I don't want to, I could be funding anything.
That's really terrible.
And another thing that irks me slightly, apart from the fact that the front of this iPhone should be black, not white. I think
that's such a...
It should be. I've always had a black iPhone. Anyway, you can't get the 32GB version, so they've still made it slightly out of reach for people who want to buy the cheapest possible iPhone. You can only get from £699.
Well, if you want to help the little kiddies with AIDS, then you've got to spend a bit more money.
So if I spend £600 on an iPhone, none of... They won't get it.
Basically, it's the same as the what's it called? Pitch black. The really shiny one. I can believe it. Jet Black.
Jet Black.
The Jet Black
Pitch
version.
Pitch Black
of,
is a Vin Diesel
it's
a film.
It's quite good, actually, isn't it?
It's a good film.
The Jet Black colour of the iPhone 7 is only available in the two storage capacity. So they're making an aspirational
thing. And you won't
thing.
Give to an AIDS charity if you buy that one. So you're a
buy
bastard.
An Android and give a few quid to an AIDS charity. Well, you is another option.
That's that's
go to my dentist.
Don't do that.
600 times.
And as well as the red iPhone 7, there is a selection of new bands for the Apple Watch.
Ooh.
They are really nice. They look really good.
£50 watch straps. So much money. They used to be £29, didn't they?
I don't know if they were ever that cheap.
God,
they
well,
are
they
really
for a watch you're going to have to replace in 2 years. Good times.
We are wondering how they're going to do the upgrade cycle for the Apple Watch, because it is ridiculous, particularly with the gold editions that they had for the first gen Apple Watch.
The £8,000 ones.
Well, they went much higher than that. There was like a £13,000. I think there was a £17,000 one.
None of that money went to AIDS, did it?
They didn't go to AIDS.
No, wait, you know what I mean. Not to the virus itself. No.
Not pro AIDS.
No.
But so you buy £17,000 or £13,000 gold watch, and then the processor inside becomes obsolete.
You've got to presume the economics of that are like buying a classic car, in that because there would have been so few of them, they must retain their value, I would think.
You'd hope so. At the very least, you can recover the gold, can't you?
Yeah.
Which I believe gold retained its value quite well.
Well, actually, one company, unless you want to talk about clips.
Should we talk about clips? I don't know very much about clips, so I was going to mainly.
I was just
going to
say that
you.
As well as the red iPhone this week, there's also a new limited edition OnePlus phone.
Ooh.
Mm. So they,
oh, it's the blue one that isn't blue.
Yeah, exactly. So there's like.
I bet it's not just called blue though, Henry. Come on.
No. So the box is blue, but the phone is black.
What?
Yeah. So they teased this blue theme for a long time, OnePlus, the Chinese phone company, with their flagship 3T. And then last week or so, they announced that they were doing a special limited run of 250 edition phones, completely the same specs, but it's just matte black. See where they got that from. And it's in partnership with a French design boutique, which I admit I'd never heard of. Called Colette, I presume that's how you pronounce it.
And,
you literally had to go on the 21st, so you've missed it, sorry, and queue up to buy one of 250 limited edition phones in Paris. But then, as we record yesterday, they then announced that actually they'll just take the Colette thing off the back and sell it as normal anyway.
What?
OnePlus has been extremely good at managing information and throttling supply so that they've grown pretty quick. But I reckon they've got a limited number of these kind of stunts they can pull before.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Four people just get
I think it's
really
slightly
annoyed.
Messier than what they've done before.
Yeah.
Before, like you alluded to, they did like an invite system which made it quite exclusive, even though it was a phone that hadn't proven itself in the market. And then now they've done this sort of big hype around the thing, and Colette, I think, it generally has a blue vibe. So the box is blue, but then the phone is black. And then
so what's different about the phone other than it's
black? Like the new iPhones that we moaned about, it's only available in the highest 128 gig version. And the actual phone itself is completely the same as the one we reviewed last year.
But the design.
But people just
the input of the
basic
design?
I don't. Probably nothing.
What?
All there is the back of.
I'm actually getting angry about this. Henry.
Well, but you didn't get as angry about the product red iPhone.
But
which
that is
the back of the phone
it's
is
a
red
color, and they give money to charity.
The back of the phone is now matte black instead of silver, basically.
And that black isn't exactly an exciting colour, is it?
Well, I know. That's the point I'm agreeing with you here.
It has... The money goes to a wealthy fashion designer.
Yes.
The limited edition, at least, does have the brand of the fashion designer, which I presume adds some cachet in.
It was just an addendum to the red iPhone.
Other things from Apple? You mentioned briefly their clips.
Yeah, clips. They got a new video editing application, which is going to be launched as part of iOS 10.3 in April, and is essentially aimed at social media. So it's for editing clips very quickly, adding. Lewis was telling me that it does live transcription. So if you're speaking in the video, then it adds captions as you speak. Sort of in theory, it takes no time at all, and then you post them on Facebook or whatever. And
potentially quite interesting.
Well, it's not really working for me, but it seems like it's one of these things like the iPhone 5C that's aimed at the younger audience. So
yeah, my mum wouldn't get clips, so. Doesn't work that way.
It's
around.
An annoying name as well.
Clips.
I know it's Apple.
Well, it's appealing to I think whether you can auto scroll on Facebook, and if you want the video to not play sound while you're on the bus, the captions will just come up automatically. I don't really know who's going to be using it. You could see it, I suppose, used by news reporting for trendy organisations who can get away with doing stuff like that. Maybe.
What about the iPhone cases?
Oh, there's a new one. You can get a pebble colour one now. One in azure.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Just a pebble coloured case.
Yes.
They had pebble coloured watch straps.
Oh, and cases as well. You can mix and match.
Camilla.
You're just trying to guess my name. Hey?
What do we think about this way of announcing things then? I mean, you know, from what we've said, there's some interesting stuff there, but it is essentially a little underwhelming.
Yeah. So they did it last year when they bumped the specs up of the MacBook. But you could kind of understand why they did that. They couldn't have got away with going, we added more RAM in a big show off press announcement. But then, this is a product that, they were very, very excited about.
I don't think anybody's excited about these products.
No, I mean, it's kind of them admitting that no one is excited about tablets anymore, but they have to keep...
I mean, it'd be one thing if it was the iPad Pro 2. I think Apple would be quite happy to pretend to be excited about a new tablet if it was...
Yeah.
The absolute top of the range, but this is like a 2 year old.
Yeah, I think we can assume that we won't get that for another year either. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I'm still holding out hope for some kind of press event next month.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. So we've got WWDC, which is in what, June?
That's in June.
Yes.
So that's still quite a long way off. So if there's no new Macs until then, I don't know. I mean, you remember before the MacBook Pro came out late last year, that people were actually seeing in the Apple results, the Mac sales were really falling off because people were just getting sick of the lack of new models. And it still hasn't produced any new desktops. I know desktops are of diminishing importance to Apple compared to the laptops, but there's still going to be a lot of people waiting for a new iMac, a very much smaller group waiting for a new Mac Pro or a Mac Mini, that haven't been updated for a very long time. I think
Mac Mini's over, isn't it? Surely you would have thought.
Probably.
It's hard to say, but yes,
I could never get the point of that anyway, really. I mean, apart from it was small.
Yeah, maybe. But I still think there's going to be a new iMac. But that's the sort of product that could have been squeezed out in a press release. Maybe the fact that it wasn't suggests that there could be an event in which there's a proper, the iMac Pro that some people have suggested could be coming out, a hybrid. But all of that could wait until June. It could be for WWDC. So
excellent speculation.
Coming both sides.
Go around the room then. iBad or... I'm mad for it. Henry Burrell.
You have to go with iBad, I think.
David
Price. Those two options.
iBad is bad.
But no, I know, but this...
You remain I'm mad for it, though.
I'm not exactly I'm mad for it.
That's the whole point of this feature.
Absurd
polarisation.
Exactly, it's binary.
I'm mad for it.
Well, I can't believe you're so positive about it.
I think the new part of the new iPad is going to be good for the education sector and for some people who haven't upgraded their iPad for a very long time.
And
I really like the new
non-snooty people like us.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Okay, well, we'll take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to flip it right over and talk about Android. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N. What's next, Henry Burrell?
Android O is the not-so-secret next version of Android, because as you alluded to there, they're going to run out of ideas when they get to their 26th version.
Android Zebedee.
Yeah. But, I mean, we obviously knew this was coming, and there's been speculation for ages about lame things like what the name will be. It's always named
What is the name going to be?
Probably Oreo.
Oreo.
It's been heavily hinted by Google
so
execs.
So, typically speaking, it is some kind of chocolate
confection.
Or sweet.
Yeah.
And there are very few O's. I did notice there is a, in Canada, is it an O. Henry?
There is an O. Henry bar. It's delicious.
Wouldn't
Although
it be
I am biased.
Amazing if it was called Android O. Henry! Exclamation mark.
It would be good. There aren't many other sweets.
I'm desperately trying to think.
Opal Fruits.
They're not called
it's
that anymore.
Starburst,
aren't they?
Now.
That was one of the triggers for Brexit, I think.
Yeah.
The globalisation affecting British sweets.
Yeah, Marathon Snickers.
Exactly, disgusting. Yeah.
Do you remember when they tried to make Cocoa Puffs Chocolate Krispies? Wankers. Anyway, so yeah, the name we're thinking.
Probably. I mean, so it's like, I still think it's slightly jarring for a company to so heavily brand their stuff. It's like, of an actual brand name. They did it, yeah. they did it with KitKat, but they've not done it otherwise. But yeah, no, the news this week is that the developer preview is available for download.
So it's sort of out for those who know how to get it.
Yeah, we'd probably highly recommend not downloading it unless you know exactly what you're doing or are a developer. If you have an Android device, it's only available actually for the Nexus 5X 6P, the new Pixel phones, and then the Pixel C, which is their tablet as well. But I probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You have to manually flash your device, which sounds both dirty and difficult. And so I would back it up if I were you.
Yeah, well, you want to do it on a phone that isn't your only phone, don't you, really?
Yeah,
it really
one
is
of those
developer
five
preview.
Phones that isn't yours.
Yeah.
So it'd be slightly unstable at the moment, but people have downloaded it and how to play around, and there are a few new things that you'll be able to do, but I still think that this is, even while it's made big news and Google has PR'd it quite a lot, it's not very exciting because Android is quite iterative in its updates.
Yeah.
You get like a new goal was cool because it changed the notification shade, which I think needed work, and I still think, even though I use an iPhone day to day, I still think that that notification system is better than iOS, and they've made sort of slight improvements to it in this one, so you can have notification channels. It'll group your notifications by certain type. Also, I don't know how effectively this will work, but you can snooze notifications, which I don't believe you've been able to do before. You can snooze them for 15, 30, or 60 minutes, which might, I think, even though I like those notifications, might be slightly overdoing it.
I don't know, yeah. Maybe. It's a funny one, really, because I often, like, just because the way I use my calendar, I suppose, I often, on my way into work, will have a ton of notifications. And then it is like, leave them there to prompt when I get to work, or dismiss them.
And forget
so
about
being
them.
Being able to snooze them for like an hour is very... It's very exclusive to me, but that would probably have some.
Okay, that's interesting.
It has worked well in email.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of the client that does it, but it has. You want to have a new email pop up again in an hour's time. That is very useful.
Yeah.
I would like Apple to steal that for iOS 11, please.
Watch this space.
It would be good. Yeah, the notification stuff on iOS, I still think, is slightly clunky. But I think
you do get that with things like the the bedtime thing. On iOS, it says it's time to go to bed, and you can choose to remind you again in 10 minutes.
Yeah,
that's obviously not a system-wide notifications thing, but there are some elements of that.
I think the Fitbit app does that as well. It tells you to go to sleep. But I think what is most interesting actually ties into iOS with Android O is that it will start to automatically limit background use of apps, which is something traditionally you've had to do manually on Android, which I think is quite annoying. For users who even know what they're doing, which isn't necessarily me, but I always found that slightly annoying that you had to go quite into the file system of your phone to eke better battery life out of it.
Yeah, more often exactly that. Your battery's been drained and you don't know why, and it's because you've had an app running all day. But
exactly,
who actually wants to go in and
some OS chooses, like I think Huawei's for example, will tell you if there's a power intensive app running, and you can then manually close it. But I think the great thing about iOS is that you normally don't notice any drop off in anything, and it's all done in the magic walled garden, which I think
still doesn't get very good battery life.
No,
it's okay battery life.
I'm not sure if it's direct. I just think that, yeah. So hopefully that will be a good thing for this OS. And one question I actually have for David. Hopefully he knows the answer.
We can always edit out.
So this is the developer preview, which is available to the public, even though they probably shouldn't download it. iOS betas, when they're released, are they ever cordoned off for only if you're on the iOS developer program.
They have a step program where there's a public beta and there's a developer beta.
Right.
So at any one moment, there will be, like iOS 10.3 beta 6 will be available for the public and beta 7 will be available for the developers only.
Yeah, I mean, and even that's relatively new, isn't it? It used to just be all
the public
walled
beta,
off. You used to have to be registered as a developer in order to get hold of it. Mm.
We constantly tell people not to download the beta unless they're really sure what they're doing, though. Because I've never really understood. I mean, for us as a journalist, it's good to be able to find out what's going to be in the next version. But
it's just the latest thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's only like a week or two ahead of everybody else.
I suppose they do need some people to take the jump and do it, because that's what the whole public thing's for, right?
Yeah. But well, who wants to be?
The most recent public beta, they did seem to listen to some of the feedback and changed iOS. Google's always been a bit more iterative anyway, as you say. I mean, even once it's out, there will be updates and finishes.
Yeah, it's just the inherent nature of Android. They've got to cover probably by volume many, many more phones than Apple does worldwide. Yeah. So even though we have had Nougat now, I think Samsung S7 and the S6, only a couple of years old, have only just got it. Many phones still haven't got it, and there's sort of strange licensing agreements with different companies.
That is weird.
To when they can release it. Yeah, it's never blanket. Like, I know we see the figures about iOS uptake is incredibly good because they fully make sure that all those iPhones that are going to get it can handle it.
And they really push it to an annoying extent.
To an annoying extent, of course. Yeah, but whereas, Android, it's just completely up to which manufacturer you have bought into
as to when they get it. That's so strange that they do that. Why would they...
Well, I think it's just because... They give the keys to the kingdom to each manufacturer. And I think it largely depends on how much they've modded Android. So manufacturers like Motorola, their Moto Z got it really quickly because it's basically stock Android. Mm. So you didn't have to change too much of it. But the way that the programs all interact with each other, if Samsung has quite a heavy UI and Sony does as well, particularly Huawei, they take forever.
It is getting better, isn't it? I think. I mean, there was a time
it is improving.
Where it would take years for everyone apart from the Google's own devices. Part of that's market pressure as well, because Google's got its own phones out there that get it immediately. So there's a bit of pressure. Because prior to that, there was an element of, from a manufacturer point of view, what's the benefit? Because you take on this huge task of either download or over-the-air updates, and it causes problems naturally, and then you've got to deal with all those problems.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that manufacturers, particularly in the UK, don't actually sell direct to the customers all that often. It's usually through a network. So you've got a further complication, because the network literally has to provide the bandwidth to get the update to the phone. And why would they want to do it, kind of thing? So, yeah, it's a bit of a... It's the model and the market there, the challenge there, really.
I wonder how many people actually worry about it, though. I know that
we
keenly think about it quite a lot, but I think many people who are still out there with a S7 that they haven't updated to Nougat are probably not that bothered.
Well, the main person that's going to worry about it is Google, because they're not going to be able to have as good a security footprint as iOS, because there's a more variegated group of devices.
Yeah, although again, I'm always really suspicious about that. I don't want to be complacent, but I mean, where is this great security threat?
Android is secure. iOS is very, very secure.
Yeah,
they're both fine, basically.
So when are we expecting Android O to be released?
Well, Google I/O normally comes around the same time as Apple's WWDC, which is their sort of developer conference thing. I find it interesting that they've announced it this early. It is quite usual, but as I said, Nougat only kind of came out at the tail end of last year. So to have trying to drum up interest already in the next version, it's quite committed of Google. I think that this one has probably, for me, not that they've said this themselves, has got to properly integrate Google Assistant into more phones. Because at the moment, we're seeing more phones like HTC 10. I remember being pleased by that phone because HTC chose to get rid of all its own apps. So you didn't have two messaging apps or two email apps. You just had Gmail and
that's happening more and
Google
more as
Photos.
Well. Samsung and Sony are both doing that more.
And over the last year, like you say, that's a positive thing, I think, for Google. But then that Google Assistant is only on the Pixel phone and LG's new G6. And for a product that they so heavily leaned on in their marketing recently, they have to get that right now.
Yeah. And then what? So it'd be towards the back end of the year, we'd expect a sort of general rollout.
I reckon so. It's going to be like Q3, 4.
Do we know anything else about new features?
I have not written down anymore. Yeah. But they are quite
It's very early.
It's quite early days.
And I mean, it really is a developer preview, because the idea is that they get it out into the hands of the people who are going to be writing software for it as early as possible.
I think it lays the groundwork for, like you say, developers to invent new things to do with the changes that they've made to the system. But at the moment, it's quite small updates.
Good. Okay, let's quickly go around the room then. Oh, God. Or, oh, boy. David Price.
Oh, Henry.
Okay, I will allow it. Henry.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I love this sort of thing. It's good.
Excellent qualification.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, guys, and thank you for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Do get in touch, let us know your thoughts and opinions. You can tweet us at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idg.co.uk. We will be back next week with more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. Until then, say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.